Welcome, my friends, to another edition of Rooted, our journey through the Westminster Confession of Faith. As is our habit, we begin by singing, and today we're going to sing a wonderful hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness. This is where our hope lies. Christ is the only sure foundation for our faith. So let's glorify Him as we sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Righteousness. That's the ground upon which we stand. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Welcome, everyone. We're in session 25 of our series, Rooted. And today, in chapter 11 of the Confession, we're taking up the topic of justification. We'll be looking at this over the next couple of weeks. I'd like to begin simply by reading chapter 11 and the first paragraph. Those whom God effectually calls, He also freely justifies, not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins and accounting and accepting them as righteous. It is not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone that they are justified. It is not by imputing faith itself, the act of believing, or any other act of Christian obedience to them as their righteousness, but by imputing the obedience and satisfaction of Christ to them who receive and rest on Him and His righteousness by faith. Men do not have this faith of themselves. It is the gift of God. Well, the wonderful topic of justification, one of the most important themes that we could study. It's so very important. In the last session, we talked about effectual calling. Here in chapter 11, like the Apostle Paul, the confession links calling with the Bible's teaching on this great gift of justification. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 says, those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified. We've talked about predestination in the past. We talked about effectual calling last week. And now, what follows effectual calling is justification. The definition of justification, what it is and what it is not, that's what the first paragraph goes into. First of all, we're told that God freely justifies. He freely justifies those whom he effectually calls. And this freely means that justification is a gift of grace. It's a free gift of grace. Romans 3:24 says, those whom God justified freely by his grace, or by grace as a gift in some translations. And then it is further explained as involving the pardon of sin. So we have this problem of sin. God pardons our sin. And how he does it is based on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I might have said recently that the work of Christ could be summed up in the phrase reconciliation through satisfaction. And when we come into this justified relationship with God where our sins are pardoned, it's through the satisfaction of God's justice that is effected by the work of Jesus Christ, especially his work on the cross. God justifies the ungodly. It's pardon for sin. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 has these lines which are taken directly from David's Psalm 32. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count sin. It certainly is blessed to have your sins forgiven. But it goes on to say that blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin, or lay it to his account, or reckon it to be. When the Lord does not do that, when he doesn't count his sin toward him, that gets him off the hook, legally speaking. So the confession talks about us as being counted and accepted as righteousness. Now, there are a couple of words that are used in this paragraph that have great importance in the history of theology, and those words are infuse and impute. Infuse and impute. We'll talk about them as we go along a little bit, but I'd just like you to note them for now. Letter C on page 2, counted and accepted as righteous. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 makes this statement. Paul makes this statement. It's an amazing statement. He says, and to the one who does not work but trusts him who justifies the ungodly. That's an arresting phrase, and it's supposed to be arresting. God justifying the ungodly. What you should usually do, and what a good judge does, is condemn the ungodly. But here we're told that God justifies the ungodly. How does he do that? Well, he does that actually through the imputation of Christ's righteousness. Not the infusion of Christ's righteousness, but the imputation of Christ's righteousness. Now, what's the distinction between the two? Well, in imputation, something is put into our account or reckoned to us. Actually, the term is an accounting term. If I were to take $1,000 and place it in your bank account and tell you that I have done that, you could count on the fact that you have $1,000 that you did not have before. Did you do anything to earn it? No, it was a gift of grace, came from me to you. And you can thank me for it, but you can't earn it. It was a gift. Now, that is an imputation, and Christ's righteousness is actually imputed to us. We have his righteousness imputed to us. Now, to infuse is a bit different. To infuse means to actually change the nature of the person so that they become righteous. Note the little bullet points that I have here. Roman Catholic teachers have argued that God infuses righteousness into us and then declares us to be righteous on that basis because he actually makes us righteous. Now, they do that because the idea of counting or reckoning an ungodly person to be righteous seems like an anomaly. So Roman Catholic teachers argue that God actually works righteousness into us, and he begins that work, and because he's doing that on that basis, then he can declare us to be righteous and avoid the charge of justification being a legal fiction. In doing this, Roman Catholic theology actually includes sanctification in its understanding of justification. Justification and sanctification always go together, but they need to be carefully distinguished. When you conflate them or fuse them together, it causes all kinds of difficulties. The reason that we do this is we want to protect the gospel of free grace from any taint of us smuggling in our own works righteousness to be accepted by God. When God imputes the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to us, he counts us as righteous with the righteousness of Christ. This is irrespective of any change in our own character. So this status of being justified before God is a legal status that we enjoy apart from any transformation of our own character. Now, in point of fact, when God justifies us, he also begins the work of sanctifying us. So like I said, they always go together, and then our character begins to change and we become more and more like Jesus. But the justified status that we enjoy is not because of a change in our character. It's because of the gracious imputation of the work of Christ into our very hearts. Now, forgiveness, letter D, forgiveness of sin, be accounted as righteous, accepted as righteous, declared righteous, all on account of Christ, our righteousness. That's what we're talking about. The grounds or the basis of all of this is Christ's righteousness himself. This is Christ's active and passive obedience. Everything he did in suffering, everything he did in fulfilling the law of God accrues to us. It becomes ours. This is what it means when Paul says in Titus 3:5, he says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 3:24 says that we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So how do we receive this righteousness? We receive it through faith. The key text for this that Paul uses in Romans chapter 4 is a statement about Abraham in Genesis 15:6. And it's a statement that you find a few times in Scripture. It's very important. We're told that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Romans 4:3, referring to Genesis 15:6. So what's the connection between justification and righteousness? Actually, it's a very close connection because they're both translated by the same Greek word. God justifies us by imputing to us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, whose perfect obedience then we receive and are counted righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a significant misunderstanding that can come along with this that the confession tries to address, and that's to think that, well, it's our faith that stands as our righteousness. But if that were the case, then we'd be able to boast in our faith and say, well, I believed, therefore I am righteous. But faith isn't the basis of our righteousness. Faith is what connects us to the righteousness of Christ. We believe what God has done for us in Christ, and our faith is the hand that reaches out and takes hold of that. In other words, our faith is instrumental. We're saved by grace through faith. And this not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. We can't even boast in the fact that we believe, because the very faith that we have, the very faith that we have to believe in Jesus Christ, is also a gift that's given to us by God. So faith, in paragraph 2, receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the only instrument of justification. Yet it is not the only grace in the person justified, but it is always accompanied by all other saving graces. Justifying faith is not dead, but it works by love. Some people are worried that if we say justification is by grace alone through faith alone, then we can live like the devil and still be saved. And so they want to smuggle in the importance of righteous works on our behalf if we're going to. Well, as a matter of fact, the person who truly believes and has this grace as a gift and this faith as a gift will also find that the other graces are involved in this and will have the desire to walk in obedience to Christ. But his salvation will not rest on his works. It will rest on the works of Jesus Christ. That's why we talk about maintaining a distinction between sanctification and justification. I'm going to talk about justification in a little bit more detail next week, but let's finish up by looking at faith here. Yet we know, and this is Paul's statement in Galatians 2:16. Follow as I read this. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. Now Paul has set up a couple of things here that are opposite one another. Faith in Jesus Christ on the one hand, and the justification that comes through believing Jesus, and works of the law on the other hand. And he says that to the Galatians, because they were having a real problem with understanding this, he was telling them that a person is justified not by keeping the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And in this one verse, Paul says the same thing three times. Count them. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. One. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Two, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Three, he wants them to understand this. You know, the ironic thing is we are saved by works. It's just not our works. It's Jesus Christ's works. It's his life of obedience. It's his life of suffering, especially summed up in his suffering and death on the cross. Thank God he didn't stay dead, because he himself had never sinned. He was raised for our justification, Romans 4:25. True justifying faith is what saves us, but it's never alone in the person who is justified. Other graces are also present accompanying it. Finally, the third paragraph says that Christ, by his obedience and death, fully discharged the debt of all those who are justified. He made a proper, real, and full satisfaction to his Father's justice in their behalf. Yet, because he was freely given by the Father for them, and because his obedience and satisfaction were freely accepted in their stead, and not for anything in them, their justification is only of free grace. It was God's purpose in the justification of sinners, both to glorify his exact justice and his rich grace, or we could say his mercy. The tremendous thing about this is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying and rising on our behalf, God's justice was satisfied, and at the very same time, He could give mercy, grace to us fallen sinners. He could be both just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. It is all of grace. That's why we can sing, I'm a debtor to mercy alone. Of covenant mercy I sing. I come with your righteousness on, my humble offering to bring. By the way, my humble offering is not in any way to try to make payment for what God has done. It's my offering of thanksgiving and my offering of a life lived in obedience to you as a way of saying thank you for saving me. We're not saved on the basis of our good works, but we are saved unto good works. For it's by grace you're saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. For we have been created unto good works, which God prepared beforehand in advance for us to walk in. In the New Testament, religion is grace, and obedience or ethics is simply gratitude. It's all of grace. You know, I'd like to read to you a little excerpt from a little paperback book of Charles Spurgeon's sermons called All of Grace. I love this little book. It's just a cheap little paperback, but I've prized it for many years. He begins by saying, and Spurgeon, if you don't know, was the greatest English preacher of the 19th century. He was a Baptist preacher in London, and had an amazing ministry, but he had a tremendous ability to connect Scripture with the common man. And he says, I heard a story. I think it came from the North Country. A minister called upon a poor woman intending to give her help, for he knew she was very poor. With money in his hand, he knocked at the door, but she did not answer. He concluded she was not at home and went his way. A little later, he met her at the church and told her that he had remembered her need. I called at your house and knocked several times, and I suppose you were not at home, for I had no answer. At what hour did you call, sir? It was about noon. Oh, dear, she said, I heard you, sir, and I'm so sorry I did not answer. But I thought it was the man calling for the rent. Many poor women know what this meant. Now it is my desire to be heard, and therefore I want to say that I'm not calling for the rent. Indeed, it's not the object of this book to ask anything of you, but to tell you that salvation, that justification, is all of grace. Often when we think about the Christian life, we think about our obligations and what we ought to do. And it's true, we have a responsibility to be obedient to God. But our salvation never rests on that basis. It rests on the finished work of Jesus Christ, which tells us that the Christian life, the walk of the Christian, doesn't begin with a great big do, but a great big done. It is finished, said Jesus. When we understand that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, it frees us from the burden of somehow thinking we must earn our salvation, or thinking that we have to walk before Him in holiness in order to keep it, and if we don't, we lose it. No. My friends, it's all of grace. And the ultimate goal in this justification by grace is nothing less than the glory of God. It's all about Him. Now, it's for us, but it's for us in the sense that we might then turn and glorify Him. We're going to talk a little bit more about justification next week. We've got more that we need to say, but for our purposes today, let's just understand this much. God justifies the ungodly, not by somehow changing their character and saying, now on the basis of this change, therefore I now justify and accept you. No, He does that gratis. He does that by grace. He does that. It's gratuitous. It's uncalled for. He does that. Now, we respond to this by faith. It's justification by faith or through faith. So our faith is involved, but our faith is not the basis that it rests on. Our faith is merely the instrument that receives and appreciates it. In that way, we're not tempted to boast and say, well, I believed and that's why I'm saved, and you didn't believe, so therefore you're not saved. We can't boast in it. Even that very faith is a gift. It's all of grace. God bless you.